This is Secrets to Win Big, your roadmap to sustained growth. Brought to you by Arjun Sen, founder and CEO of Zen Mango, top brand growth driver and a former Fortune 500 executive who has been called one of the most marketing intelligent minds in the business. Find him at zenmango.com. And now, here's your host, Arjun Sen.
Welcome to Secrets to Win Big with Arjun Sen. This is Arjun. And this particular podcast, I've really been excited about. Because many a time, I talk to leaders who talk about what they have accomplished, how they have done that, which is very fascinating. Then once every 20 podcasts, I meet this future leader who puts me in this incredible position to see how leaders evolve in their journey. And those are fascinating conversations. And today, in that spirit, it's truly a pleasure and an honor to invite my VIP guest, Divya Shukla. Divya Shukla is the student of Carnegie Vanguard High School, class of 2022, which means right after this podcast airs, she would be going to one of the top colleges. I think colleges will be fighting to get her, and you'll know very soon why I say that. In the first 17 years of her life, she has made an impact in the lives of others that make her an emerging leader of tomorrow. Here's a very simple example. She had some severe eye challenges while growing up. I'm not going into details because it's personal and confidential, but what I really loved about was, instead of just finding a solution for herself with the help of her cool parents, she worked with the University of Houston Optometry Research in a role that is offered primarily to graduate students, and published articles about the success. And articles she has published, and this is the part where these are quite a few high syllable words which I can't enunciate properly, but I'll try. Behavioral measures in myopic and non-myopic height. What impressed me is when I looked at this young leader's accomplishments, quite a few number of times, she does not stop at finding a solution for herself, but she always goes above and beyond to make an impact in the lives of others around her. So with that, I can't hide my excitement anymore. Divya Shukla, welcome to Secrets to Win Big.
Thank you for that amazing introduction, Arjun Kaku.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited to be on this podcast today, and I'm so excited to share my story and learn more.
And if anybody are wondering what Kaku means an uncle, and this kiddo calls me an uncle. I'm very fortunate to have a niece as cool as Divya. So Divya, you know, I want to focus my conversation on how you think and how you make an impact in the life of others. Okay, let us start with the simple I story. Okay, how did you find a solution at the highest level and then contribute as a high school student competing with graduate students? Wow.
I was just the average toddler who went to elementary school. I had an idyllic childhood. I was equipped as everyone else to succeed. Sure, I recall having blurry vision, but it was like a routine screen, like the eye checkups that you do in your elementary school, that I realized that I was actually severely myopic. And then at that time, I was only 4, but I became intrigued at how not only my issues, like I wondered like if other students my age were also having the same issues. I didn't know that only like 6% of the world was myopic. And I had to modify my life in so many ways. I had to take more screen breaks. I had to wear special glasses, soon became bifocals. I have to have filters on my screens because of the blue light. And you never really see toddlers in bifocals. And so I've always been told to like limit my screen time and everything, but I was a high schooler when the pandemic hit, and we're still in the middle of the pandemic right now. But we're always on our screens doing homework, especially in high school, you're doing college applications, scholarship applications, so many things. And the amount of time you're on your, like, it just, it's excessive screen time from online schooling too, because the entire school became online. You had to attend classes online. And so I wondered if there would be any uptick in children needing glasses, because there's so many theories that screen time is related to bad eyes. And so for those who, of you who don't know, myopia is just nearsightedness, which means that you struggle to see objects far away without correction or lens in your eyes. And so I reached out to many professors, or reached out to over 30 professors across the Texas Med Center, but of all of them, only one, surprisingly, only one was actually willing enough to work with me. And so I was thrilled, I was elated. It was love at first sight. Dr. Lisa Ostrin from the University of Houston mentored me through the research process of writing and collecting data. And I even arranged, and she even arranged to allow me to work with like human subjects. She trained me and she gave me the devices I needed. And she basically walked me through the entire process, because at this point I had never heard, I thought research was Googling things. I didn't know anything or much about the actual process of research. And so my, this primary research was really about studying the effects of the pandemic on high schoolers and seeing if the different behaviors like screen time, sleep time, outdoor time, light exposure, all of that stuff impacts the eye.
So let's take a step back. Even though what you talked about is wow and awesome, let's go beyond research. What is the bigger lesson in life that you learned going through this whole journey?
Something I've learned is that I've found a real passion for research, and you need to be persistent and patient. Sometimes research doesn't take a day, it doesn't take a week, it doesn't take a month. Sometimes it takes many months, sometimes it can take a year, sometimes it can take more than a year. When I was working with my research, I was able to use new technology, new devices called Cloud Clips had just come out. Active watches had been around, but using those devices in high schoolers, a lot of parents had concern about the technology, what the technology actually did, because they didn't know everything the lab knew. Many parents are, you may not always be comfortable with just accepting a new device from another student. So I had to be persistent in reaching out to different subjects, explaining everything to them. And even when subjects do allow to wear, like do allow you to use them as a subject, sometimes the data may not come back correctly. So there's so many different factors, and you learn about like balance, time management, persistence, and patience.
Wow. And persistence and patience are sometimes the two opposite sides of a coin. Like sometimes as we try to be persistent, we can become impatient. And you know, and I really love the fact how you talked about it. Now, let me also push one more thing here is, as a high school student, as you're working in the world with real faculty at a highest level, were you afraid?
I was very intimidated at first.
And what
you
do
don't
you do
often
what
hear.
What do you do when you get afraid?
You don't often hear a high schooler walking into a lab with PhD professors and graduate students. And I didn't know that was what I was walking into at first. I thought I was just had a mentor who was going to guide me through the process. But after I finished this project, I actually started, she hired me to work in the lab. And so that's when I really got to know everyone else in the lab. And it's very inspiring to see how, even though you may be a high schooler and you may not have like the entire training, med school, all of that knowledge to be able to do know certain things, the contributions you can make, the small contributions, whether it's giving papers fresh read or analyzing OCT images, which is what I do in the lab right now. Different small things, though I was trained, those small things can make such big impacts, and it's nice to see how like everyone can make contributions in certain ways. And so it was intimidating, but it was also inspiring. And now I feel comfortable and I've found my spot and I feel confident in what I do.
Love that. So another follow-up question there is, today, if you had to write a 1-2 line testimonial about this super faculty who gave you the opportunity, what kind of a shout out would you give her?
I would She's absolutely amazing and has inspired me and given me so many opportunities that I would not have known that even existed. She helped me become CITI certified for biomedical researchers and human subjects. I didn't even know that I needed certification to do that. I had never heard of OCT images. I learned so much about technology from different parts of the world.
So you were CITI certified at what age?
16.
Wow. So finally, so when you become a faculty, how will this experience change your world when you meet a younger Divya?
Working with her has definitely shaped my career path, because I've now found my passion. This is what I want to do. And optometry is not the only field I've researched. I've researched in geology and other fields too. So when I do work in a lab, not necessarily optometry, or when I do continue research and I meet a younger version of myself, I would definitely be much more encouraging and not be one of the, I would definitely be much more encouraging and help provide the opportunity and resources for a younger person to experience something, because they may not necessarily enjoy the idea of research. I know many people who have researched before and didn't like the tedious process of researching, writing, collecting data. Like I said, it requires a lot of patience. Some people like immediate results. Some people may not like it, but I would definitely be willing to provide that opportunity for someone so they can understand what research is and see if they like it or not.
So thank you for sharing this. So now let me go and talk about one of the coolest and most favorite persons in your life, Coco. I love that smile the moment I talked about Coco. So share with us a little bit about how Coco came in your life, but how you didn't stop there and you became an advocate to your friends about adopting pets.
Yeah, I love dogs now, but I did not like them when I was younger. I would always think that animals are just unpredictable. I was scared of getting bitten, infected, or even sick, because they carry a lot of germs. I would not understand dog language. To me, when I was younger, a bark or anything would mean aggression. But to me right now, that means joy and happiness in a dog. And so when I was younger, my friends started to get a dog. My best friend got a dog. I was always at her house, so I had to get used to being around a dog. After her, every other friend I knew also began to get a dog. So it was a dog came as a package deal of being friends with people. So I developed a love for dogs. They're sweet souls that can't speak. They're helpless sometimes. And all they know how to do is love you back. And so to combat the isolation and stress of the pandemic, and also the loneliness of being an only child, because I've always wanted siblings, and having essential workers that during the pandemic, they're always out working. I started volunteering at the animal shelter at the Houston SPCA. And the SPCA has many animals like chickens, birds, pigs, dogs, rats, mice, cats. And being in that environment is just so heartwarming, because I don't know how to describe it. You walk into a room with a bunch of animals of a certain, a room full of dogs, and they all just come up to you and wanting love. You just feel loved. And I've always wanted siblings or someone to be with. And so over the course of the pandemic, my mom wasn't, in general, she wasn't the biggest fan of dogs. But because of the pandemic, a lot of dogs were being abandoned because it was a financial burden for families and everything. There's a big influx of dogs in the shelter. And so my mom went out of town for a work trip, and it was just me and my dad at home. And we decided to go to the shelter and adopt one. I didn't go in with the intention of adopting one. I just went to go look, but I came home with a dog and I named him Coco. He's a Schnauzer and Westie mix, and I love my Wowzer. My Wowzer wows me all the time, and I love to say that to people. But I got the dog. He's my emotional support. And something I realized about having a dog is that it teaches you so much more than just, being an emotional support. It teaches you responsibility, because you have to remember to put the food out, walk the dog, vet visits, medication. You need time management, because you need to make time for the walks, the vet visits, all of your other commitments, really. You learn about cleanliness, because you have to put things up immediately after you use them to prevent the dog from getting in. Like, you can't leave food out on the counter, they'll climb up. You can't leave your bookshelf open, they'll get in. Most importantly, I've learned that you need to understand and give a voice to those who don't have one. And I don't mean literally those who don't have one, because like every human can speak or communicate in a certain way, but I mean those who have less representation, like the minority report.
So now let's talk about, you know, take it to a different direction. You know, you have incredibly supportive parents, but other than them, anybody else in your life who has had a big impact in being a role model in your life?
Yes. I would say that there's a show called Homeland, and I feel like a lot of people are familiar with it, but for those who are not familiar with it, it's a show that talks, that has people from the CIA, obviously fictional characters, not actual CIA, Central Intelligence Agency officers, but they have members of the CIA, GRU, from the Russian intelligence, different parts of the world. And it talks about this big conflict across the world. It's a very good show. It's a thriller show for those who like thrillers. But my favorite person, like in the show, is someone who's like really inspired me through her characters. It's Carrie Matheson, who is the main character, but she's played by Claire Danes. So I would say the fictional character Carrie Matheson, her behavior in Homeland is something that really inspires me. I love her passion for what she does. And despite having bipolar disorder, the character, and having to take like so many lithium supplements to help her, she finds ways to get the job done. And something about her that I've noticed that I love and I think is so creative, I love her creative mind. But she's not the best at staying out of trouble, but she's amazing at getting out of trouble. And I think that's so cool, because not that I like getting in trouble and stuff, but her creativity and the way she plans things out is just inspirational and like initiates thoughts in your mind that make you think much more broader than you would otherwise in certain situations. And so I share a passion of investigation and solving mysteries with Carrie. And so her mission in the show is to like defend the United States in foreign affairs and retrieve data by going undercover and solving missions and investigations that she's put to do. Me, I love to work on, I would love to work for a law enforcement agency one day. And I think research in itself is a mystery. And as mentioned before, that's a big part of my life too.
Love that. So here's the scoop. Is the show coming back or is it over?
It's over. And I'm so sad about it. I don't want to spoil the show for anybody, but if you haven't seen it, it's so good. It's so good.
And so my wife Chitra and myself, we love the show and we have been hoping yes. that season 12 comes back. So we'll see.
Yes.
So now, you know, these are fascinating conversations, but now if you pause for a second, Dipya, what's ahead? So how do you see future, you know, the book opening up in front of you? What are big goals and how will you handle this big transition into the world where you will be an undergrad and then a grad student and making an impact?
Yeah, through college, I really hope to continue researching. Like I mentioned earlier that I have researched in geology before. I just went to the International American Geophysical Union Research Conference in New Orleans this past December. And it was so inspiring to see. When you think about geology, you think about rocks. But I didn't ever think, well, now I know, but I didn't think it related to NASA. NASA was there. Google was there. They were coding. There were so many different aspects of like different careers. So I, through college, like in the future, I definitely want to continue researching. I look forward to my publications. I find biomedical engineering, but I would like to major in biomedical engineering in college, but I don't know, but I'm always open to like different career paths too. Like I mentioned, I'm interested in law enforcement. So I find biomedical solutions, employing technology, mobile apps. I'd like to create a nonprofit where I could help make mobile healthcare units and in some way impact the less fortunate, whether it's like research, clinical practice, creating maybe an invention or technology, different pathways. I think biomedical engineering is my pathway to medicine, and I hope to use that to inspire, educate, and impact the less fortunate and youngers.
Thank you. So one of the words you used a lot is the word research. Okay. You also educated us that research is not just Google, going to Google and typing the word with some correct spellings and figuring out what Google spits back. So looking at from a bigger picture, what is research and what is not research in your mind?
To me, anything is research. I think whether it's Googling something like how to make a certain recipe, or whether it's how to do a certain hairstyle, or how to do anything, I think it's all research. Walking out, research to me is finding or researching the unknown. When you do research, one of the first things you do is find a question of something that exists in the literature. It can be something, or something that doesn't exist in the literature. Sorry, let me correct that. Something that doesn't exist in the literature. And if it is something that exists in the literature, literature meaning something that's published or something that's known, it can be something controversial. You just need to find a more definite answer to something. And so it's just really investigating the unknown, whether it's like walking outside or even going to a big college, you never know who you're going to run into, when you're going to run into, what you're going to run into. And so there's a process in all of that. I think anything can be considered research.
So I love where this discussion is going. Many a time I feel we try to know what we think we do not know. But our bigger challenge is what we do not know at all. How do you keep your mind open to things you are not aware, not know, and let that light come in?
So when I was younger, and I still do have a notebook, I keep this notebook where when I don't know something or if I have a question, I just write it down. It can be something like, how do markers work? Like now we know that the ink is like in the foam thing and the ink drains and when we press, the ink goes onto the paper. It can be something simple like that, or how do stars form, right? Different things when I was younger, I'd write down like that in a notebook and then I'd like look at it. That kind of inspires like different thoughts. Not knowing like something is definitely a challenge, but in research, I think when I find questions in a much broader scale, like in the literature right now, it's more of like, I know this, how would this impact this, right? So we know, suppose you're given two drugs and you know that this drug impacts one person a certain way and then another drug impacts another person a certain way. What if those drugs were combined? Would they still be as effective? It's more about just taking what you know and creating something you don't know.
Brilliant. I also think there's a book that could be a bestseller written by you, which is called Divya's Notebook of Questions. I think it'll be a very fascinating book in future.
There will be no sort of organization in that question, in that book. There will be no way to format anything in there.
That's okay. It will trigger a lot of thoughts. So now let's take the conversation and go a little personal. If today you walk in to a restaurant, or let's say a neighborhood coffee shop, and you meet two other Divyas. One is Divya, 40 years old, and one is Divya, 100 years old. What would that conversation be like?
I think Divya today is going to be optimistic, hopeful for my future right now because I'm working on college applications. It's more about making pivotal decisions right now that will really influence right now in the immediate future. It's going to impact the next 4 years of my life. And then in the long run, possibly shape my career path. So right now it's more of me being optimistic. I'm determined to get a formal degree, but Divya at 40 would probably be talking about all of her experiences of, you know, hopefully having started her nonprofit and having had made great progress in that. Helping the underrepresented minorities in healthcare. I think I would also have many wonderful stories about working in the hospital environment. If I do surgeries, I could talk about some of that stuff. I would be talking about my interesting experiences through researching. I love to dance and I hope to choreograph for different teams one day. So hopefully I can talk about that. Divya at 100, on the other hand, would be the quiet one listening into the conversations. probably offering advice to my current and 40-year-old self about everything that's happening in life. Something that, a quote that I've heard before that really resonates with me, and this is just at the top of my head, is that you're constantly worrying about the next part of your life without realizing that you're in the middle of what you used to look forward to. And I'll let that sink in again, and I'll repeat it, that you're constantly worrying about the next part of your life without realizing that you're right in the middle of what you used to look forward to. And that's saying a lot, because right now I'm looking forward to, you know, everything I would be doing when I'm 40. I would want to do X, Y, Z. But in when I'm 40, I'm thinking about what I want to do when I'm 60 or 80 or whatever in the future. But when I'm 40, I'm actually living what I was looking forward to. I am right now, what I'm thinking right now. So I think life is just really about a process, and 100-year-old Divya would just be like, don't worry, don't stress, enjoy life and do what you're passionate about.
So follow-up question. If there's one piece of advice you could give the 40-year-old, what would the piece of advice you today will give Divya, 40-year-old?
Me today give Divya, 40 years old? I don't know what it's like to be 40, but I would say don't stress. As a high schooler, I get stressed so much about little things just because I have, you know, the pressure of school, college apps, external things. I'm the captain of my school's dance team, so I'm always constantly choreographing. I'm a lifeguard, so I'm always at work. I work at the lab too, so I have so many responsibilities to balance. And when I'm 40, I believe that I'll have much bigger responsibilities to balance, taxes, a family, maybe so much more. So I think just take a step back and do what you enjoy and just take a breather and don't worry, because everything will eventually work out.
Love that. And I also love the fact that you put taxes and a baby on the same sentence as equal stress. I love that. So Divya, this is a very fascinating conversation. You know, I really liked the way you put things into perspective and share freely. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to share, or is there any questions you have for me? Because it's only fair I give you the opportunity, because I have you have answered every question I've asked you.
Arjun Kaku, meeting you has been like so influential in my life. I remember that I was struggling in college, like when I first started college apps, I was like, what do I write about? Because I didn't know what to pull from my life. But you taught me, you've inspired me in so many ways and given me the confidence to actually own up to who I am. Like, you've not only been a role model, but you've also been such a big mentor in my life. So I was wondering, when can I interview you on your little podcast series? Or well, if I'm allowed to.
Anytime you want to. Anytime you want to, it would be an honor and a pleasure. And just make sure that ask me not tough questions, because not everybody can be at the level of Divya.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say that. But yes.
So this has been a very fascinating conversation. And I have to be honest that I was very surprised with this conversation, because I was expecting the conversation to go more details into processes, how Divya operates. You know, she didn't disappoint. Like, there's a lot of it. Of course, on top of it is the enthusiasm. But towards the end, all of a sudden, that surprised the heck out of me was, I felt I'm talking to my grandma. The level of wisdom I got, especially when she talked about, and I want you to repeat the quote, because I'll butcher the quote totally, about when you talked about, and the quote is?
It's, you're constantly working about the or you're constantly like worrying about the next part of your life without realizing that you're right in the middle of what you used to look forward to.
And hearing it three times was important for me, because I really feel that that is the level of wisdom that exists. I would have never found that wisdom if I didn't invite this future leader on my podcast.
It's not my original quote. I don't know who it's from. That's why I was like, that's what I mentioned earlier. Like, I don't remember where I got this from, but I've heard this quote and it's something that resonates.
I heard it from you, and I just am grateful that you brought that to my life. So thank you. Truly appreciate that. So on behalf of all your fans, wish you the very best. Stay calm. Incredible things will happen. and the right university at the right time will appreciate that they are sending an invite to you to join, and it'll happen soon. So let's keep our fingers crossed that it happens sooner and wish you the very best. And Divya, this has been a true pleasure. Thank you then.
Thank you so much for inviting me on to here. It's been a great honor and pleasure.
You've been listening to Secrets to Win Big with Arjun Sen, founder and CEO of Zen Mango, top brand growth driver and a former Fortune 500 executive who has been called one of the most marketing intelligent minds in the business. To learn more, visit www.zenmango.com. Share this podcast with your friends and subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.